Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Racklevitt. It is Thursday, September 28th. Week four about to begin. Heck, you might even be listening to this after week four began, but we're not really covering anything for Thursday night here. So don't worry. Forget about it. We are going to break down wide receiver cornerback matchups for you DFS heads on the podcast today. Yes, you can maybe learn a thing or two for season-long fantasy football purposes, but there are a number of instances where I'm not going to let it move the needle for me. And in fact, I'll talk about that with the first downgrade that I'm going to get to, but I'm a positive person. So I'm going to start with the upgrades, and let's start with one Ja'Marr Chase. Got off the schneid last week, a career best 12 receptions. And yes, Joe Burrow is a bit of a concern, but we are trending in the right direction. I mean, it was bleak last week. I had heard from folks in the know that injured reserve was a real possibility, and that didn't happen. And in fact, he went out there. No, he didn't throw any touchdown passes against the Rams, but he didn't look that bad. And he did look Ja'Marr Chase's way. I think the technical term is a buttload of times. So all good on that front. And then you look on the other side. He's not going to see shadow coverage from anybody. He is going to see roughly about a third of the time, though, Christian Fulton in coverage. Christian Fulton has been one of the worst corners this season. He's allowed 7 catches on 8 targets for 165 yards. And you don't have to pull out the calculator. I will do the math for you. That's 23.6 yards per catch. With Chase's big play upside, with the matchup. And Tennessee, let's be fair, good run defense, not so good against the pass, though. Love this spot for Ja'Marr Chase. How about Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and let's toss Marvin Mims in there for giggles as well, versus Chicago? Yes, Denver lost by 50 points last week. Still weird to say that. But kind of lost in the shuffle here is Russell Wilson has now posted back-to-back 300-yard performances. So we are trending up a little bit, especially for Courtland Sutton. Now let's look to the other side of the football. Chicago is in shambles. Their defensive coordinator resigned. Their secondary. Now, let's be clear. If you're a Bears fan, first and foremost, I know it's tough right now. But there are some bright spots. There's bright spots to every NFL team. And one of your bright spots as a Bears fan, Jalen Johnson. This dude's no joke. He's playing very good football. He's a budding star at corner. I really like what we're seeing out of him. Unfortunately, the rest of the defense, not so hot. In fact, as a whole, the Bears secondary so far this season, 0 interceptions, just 4 pass breakups through 3 games. That's not good. And part of it here, too, is the play of Tyreek Stevenson and Greg Stroman. Stevenson's allowing 16.7 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns already in his coverage. Stroman is a slot corner. He's allowed 8 of 9 targets to be caught. So I love this spot for Courtland Sutton. Jerry Jeudy at any point could have a big game, but I especially love Marvin Mims. Now, Marvin Mims is just a punt play. We're not going all in on Marvin Mims this week in DFS. He is not starter worthy in season long. I liked picking him up, but we're not there yet. You know, everything in its own time, everything in its own place. But Marvin Mims right now, so there's this metric that my former employer PFF created, and I love the metric because it's a really fantastic gauge of efficiency. It's called yards per route run. And if you look back over the course of a season, if you're a receiver, it's how many yards you accumulate receiving yards per route run. Plain and simple. It's a very simple metric, but it's a very effective one. It's a sticky metric. It really tells you how effective these guys are. And guys who are effective in it tend to continue to be effective in that metric. Annually, over 2.0, you're pretty good. Like we'll see 18, 19, 20 guys over that annually, somewhere around that range. If you are over 3.0, you walk amongst the gods. Last year, only one player was above 3.0. His name is Tyreek Hill. The year before, only one player. It was Cooper Kupp in his historically good season. Only one player in the PFF era has ever topped 3.0 in more than one season, and in fact, he did it in three seasons, and his name is Julio Jones. Loved Julio Jones. Loved Julio Jones. Right now, I just told you where they walk amongst the gods, right? Right now, Marvin Mims, yards per route run, 7.22. What? 7.2. He's barely playing. That's the thing. But every time he steps on the field, he makes things happen. I love Marvin Mims just in general. I want them to use him more, but you bet your rear end I'm willing to punt with him in DFS this week because of this matchup. And by the way, Tyreek Hill right now is at 4.74. So these numbers will invariably go down. I'm not saying Marvin Mims is going to stay at 7.22. That would completely break yards per route run. But right now, his efficiency is off the charts. That's the point. And yeah, I'm going to get him in some DFS lineups. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. So Debo is a little banged up. We just have to keep an eye on his status. He's dealing with a ribs issue. Ayuk looks like he is going to get back on the field. But this is about facing the Arizona secondary. So Marco Wilson has allowed 272 yards in his coverage this season. Just a friendly reminder, that's in three games. No one has allowed more than Marco Wilson. 18 catches allowed, 15.1 yards per catch. Keytrell Clark, the rookie who is out there, is also up over 200, 224 yards allowed, 14.1 air yards per target. Not that the 49ers are going to push the ball vertically in this matchup. I don't see that happening. However, we know the ceiling. We know how explosive Ayuk and Samuel can be. It's a good spot for them against Arizona. How about this? Chargers corner Michael Davis has allowed four touchdowns in his coverage. And the Chargers are facing the Raiders. The Raiders feature a guy who scores a lot of touchdowns in Devontae Adams. There's analysis for you. Adams should see Davis about a third of the time. He lines up on the right 31% of the time since the start of last season. So I like that spot for Adams. How about Adam Thielen? Revenge game. He's coming off of an 11-catch outing, though, last week. He's going to see, again, it's going to be about a third of the time against Byron Murphy. He's another one of these corners up over 200 receiving yards allowed so far this season, 231 to be precise. So far this season, I would say if I had to pinpoint who has been the worst corner in the league, my vote would probably go to Tamari Mathis. Mathis has allowed 18 catches on 21 targets, 227 yards, and three scores. Now, he plays opposite Pat Surtain in the Broncos secondary on the other side from him. Surtain is, I'll get to him in a moment, not the best week. Nobody on the Broncos had the best week last week on the defensive side of the ball, but I expect him to shadow DJ Moore, which means Darnell Mooney. Sneaky appeal. I actually looked it up right before the show or before the podcast here. Plus 410 to score a touchdown on FanDuel for Darnell Mooney. Sneaky, sneaky. And sneaky, sneaky for DFS purposes. This is not a play for the faint of heart, but I like the spot just based on that matchup because of Surtain traveling with DJ Moore. And I do think he travels with DJ Moore. I'll get to more about that in a moment. Justin Jefferson doesn't need a matchup upgrade, but he's going to get one anyway. Dante Jackson, who will be opposite him a good chunk of the game, allowing 18.4 yards per catch. So you do a little Jefferson, you do a little Thielen, you know. But anyway, over 200 yards, he's one of nine corners to do that as well. Xavien Howard. Okay, so when we talk about Xavien Howard, if you're in the know at least a little bit about defensive players, you know, we widely think of him as a pretty good corner. And that is largely true over the course of his career, but not this season. He has allowed 16 catches on 22 targets so far. He did give up the touchdown to Cortland Sutton last week. It's very good news for Stephon Diggs. Let's head to New England. Christian Gonzalez looks like he's going to be a stud. He's a budding star. Like, great, great, great first-round pick for them. But I don't think that matters for CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is a slot receiver, and very frequently when you have these shadow situations like Gonzalez for the Patriots, he would shadow a perimeter receiver. That's not Lamb. Lamb is a slot receiver. So he's not likely to see a lot of Gonzalez. In fact, probably more likely to see Miles Bryant, who's allowed 11 catches on 14 targets this season. So, you know, there are some good receivers to pay up for. All right, let's go to the downgrades. And here's a classic example of, for DFS, not good. For season long, I don't care. Still a back-end wide receiver too. It's Mike Evans. You know, there are a few things, few constants in this world. Death, taxes, and Marshawn Lattimore shadowing Mike Evans. He has shadowed him four times over the last three seasons. I think he was hurt in the other two games, but whatever. I'm not worried about that part. What I am worried about is in those four games, four, Evans has three catches on 10 targets for 55 yards. He did score a touchdown in those games against Lattimore. Now, that's not good. Lattimore is holding opposing receivers to a 42% catch rate. That's not good. For DFS, not using him. In DFS, we have to worry about price point. We have to worry about ownership. We have to worry about stacking. We have to worry about potentially navigating a field of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of other lineups. In season-long fantasy football, we have none of those concerns. Like, yes, matchup is a bit of a concern, but we don't have to worry about salary or stacking or ownership or thousands of lineups. We have to worry about beating one opponent. And Mike Evans is a back-end wide receiver, too, in season-long fantasy football. He is. He's a back-end wide receiver, too. And he can still put up wide receiver two numbers, even with Marshawn Lattimore on him for 70-75% of his routes. He's still capable of doing that. It's just we're trying to win big money in DFS. It's a different mindset. Garrett Wilson also figures to see a shadow this week from Legarius Sneed. In week two, Sneed was on Calvin Ridley, held Calvin Ridley to two catches on five targets for 32 yards in his coverage. Last week, Sneed was on DJ Moore. He had one catch for 3 yards against Sneed. Yikes. This week, Garrett Wilson. Wilson has the Zach Wilson dilemma. He has a potential tough matchup in coverage. Not a good spot for Garrett Wilson. I don't think many people were using him anyway, but just in case you were thinking about getting cute. Terry McLaurin versus Philadelphia. Over the last three seasons, Darius Slay has shadowed McLaurin in all six matchups that he has faced him. All six regular season matchups. So Slay, let's address the elephant in the room. He has not been elite so far this season. 14 catches allowed on 21 targets, two touchdowns surrendered. However, he does play McLaurin well. Over that time, those six games, he is allowing two catches per game, 3.2 targets per game, 30.8 receiving yards per game. McLaurin has not scored a touchdown against Slay. Not a good spot here. Let's talk about Pat Surtain. Okay, so last week he did get torched by Miami, like everybody else. He allowed 102 yards and a score. I'm not going to use that one game, and obviously this is an outlier game. The Dolphins scored 70 points in the game. I'm not going to use one game and count it against or hold it against the larger resume from Surtain. So here's what I expect. He's going to be on DJ Moore. And obviously through the first two games of the season, Surtain allowed four catches for 33 yards total over that span of time. I'm not worried here about him. I'm not using DJ Moore in DFS. Cleveland. We know how good Cleveland's defense has been this season. They have been excellent. And a big part of that has been their secondary. Martin Emerson. Yes, we'll talk about Denzel Ward, but Martin Emerson has seen 12 targets. He has allowed three catches. That is 25% on the season. That's silly. Now, obviously, I don't expect him to sustain that, but still not good. Denzel Ward, also pretty stingy. 50% catch rate in his coverage. Bad news for Zay Flowers this week. And they're still banged up. Odell's still banged up. Rashad Bateman's banged up. It's not a good spot for Zay Flowers. All right, let me talk about the Jets corners because they're awesome. Sauce, DJ Reed, Michael Carter II. None of those three corners are allowing over 10 yards per reception this season. That is silly good. They're the only starting trio in the NFL who can make that claim. And so what does this mean? I mean, they're actually giving up catches. It's not like they're just complete shutdown. They're keeping everything in front of them. Like, very disciplined, very good football out of the Jets' corners. So that is not good for Sky Moore, for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, for Rashee Rice, if you think he might, you know, be flying under the radar there. I don't know if I would go that far with Rashee Rice this week. So there you go. Build those DFS lineups. A reminder, on my show, my SiriusXM show on Fridays, I do breakdown. I'll give you a quick breakdown of my DFS core players for the week. But in the meantime, head on over to ftnfantasy.com if you want the latest rankings, projections, all of the premium content, the Discord community. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off over there. And follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. Enjoy the Thursday night football. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to break down all of the remaining games on the slate. Get you set up for all those start-sit decisions and all the goodness this week in week four. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.